السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ.
الله عبد الرحمن، كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله يا شيخ.
تأخرنا لكم.
نعم شيخ.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، our book on these days is الداء والدواء by الإمام أبو عبد الله محمد ابن أبي بكر ابن أيوب. This Imam rahimahullah is widely called Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah. Sometimes he is more openly referred to as Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyya rahimahullah. His name is Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr, and his kunya was Abu Abdullah. Adda'u wa Dawa is a book that's compiled as a reply to the question of a person in trouble. And that's why it's also referred to as Al-Jawabul Kafi, that sufficing, all-encompassing response. Liman sa'ala anid-dawa'i ash-shafi. And that response is regarding the one who asks for a solution. We ask for a solution that will bring an end to the trouble that he was in. Rahimahumullah. It's an encyclopedic work. And the first thing the Imam told us about ad-dawa, about healing, was that reciting the Quran and making ruqya is from the major means of finding solutions to problem. One of the major means of finding any kind of problem it may be, whether it has to do with the limbs, it has to do with the heart, it has to do with the ruh. All these kinds of amrod, they are taken bi-idhnillah by ruqya, reciting the Quran, reciting the Quran. When he said that to us, he told us, he gave us the reasons why people may not find clear-cut effects regarding what they do. If you don't find effect, check what you need to check. We have discussed these matters in class. He mentioned another comprehensive solution to trials. That solution was dua. He said, rahimahullah, that ad-du'a min aqwa al-asbab fi daf'i al-makruh wa husul al-matlub. Du'a is from the strongest means of daf'u al-makruh, putting away things you don't like. Something you don't like wants to happen to you. One way to deflect it is by employing du'a. وحصول المطلوب. Likewise, you desire something, you want something, you want to achieve something. One way to beg Allah for you to achieve what you want is through dua. Then he quickly told us again. He mentioned four things that will make your dua slow. He called them, rahimahullah, asbabu takhallufi athari dua. Asbabu takhallufi athari dua. The means, things that can lead to takhallufu athari dua. Things that can lead you or lead your dua to have a slowed down effect. The dua is there. The dua in itself is very effective, but the effect will not be seen. The dua as a dua, the dhikr as a dhikr is very effective, but you will not find that effectiveness, you will not find that potency. He mentioned four things, and these things are important for us to mention them going forward. The first of them, from the asbab of takhallufu athari du'a, he called it du'afu du'a fi nafsihi, that the du'a itself is a weak du'a. You are making du'a and the du'a is weak. That's your du'a itself is a weak du'a. What does weak du'a mean? Weak du'a are those du'a la yuhibbuhu Allah ta'ala lima fihi min al-udwan. You are making a du'a that is containing oppression and aggression. That du'a is weak du'a. You are making a du'a towards a sin. Allah, make me get this money, and that money is haram. Allah, make me get this job, and the job is haram. Allah, make me be able to do so thing, and that action is haram. That du'a is itself what? Weak du'a. The request itself is weak. This is the first thing he mentioned. So you think that you are making du'a, but you are making du'a towards something that is haram, and that du'a itself is a weak du'a, even though you are calling Allah regarding it. The second thing from the asbabu takhallufi athari du'a is du'aful qalb aw maraduhu bizunub, the weakness of the mind that is releasing the du'a. The mind that is releasing that du'a itself is a weak mind. May Allah protect us. What are the things that cause a weak mind? Aw li du'afil iman, the iman in that mind is weak. Or he mentioned wa maraduhu bizunub, that mind is weak because it has been weakened by sins. The way pure sugar and other things, we know a poison weaken the body system, that is the way sins weaken the mind. The third thing that makes the mind to be weak, that mind that wants to shoot sound du'a, it may be a weak mind, is that adamu ikbalihi Allah, when making the du'a, it does not completely turn to Allah. He's on the du'a and he's pressing the phone. She's on the du'a, she's calling an Okada rider for delivery. So the mind is half off from the du'a, half on the Okada rider expecting to deliver the goods that she's ordering or that she's sending to somebody. So two major things we have mentioned about asbabu takhallufi athari du'a. The first one is what? Du'a fu du'a. The du'a itself is weak. We know what it means when a du'a is weak. When the du'a contains haram, the du'a itself. Or someone making du'a regarding breaking the ties of kingship, that du'a itself is a weak du'a. That tie of kingship may not break at all. Is a weak du'a in itself, a du'a that contains haram or aggression, zulm, in itself. The second reason why du'a are slowed down or completely not seeing the effect is that du'aful qalb, the mind that is making that du'a itself, aw maraduhu bithunub, or that mind itself has been sickened with sins. We have given examples. What things can make a mind to be weak? Sins, and what? Weak iman, or what? Adamu ikbalihi alallah. That mind itself during that du'a is not effectively directed towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn al-Qayyim said, فَيَكُونُ بِمَنْزِلَةِ الْقَوْسِ الرَّخْوِ جِدًّا. So that du'a, it will be like al-qaws, Ar-rakhwi, it's like the bow. You know when you have a bow and arrow, when the bow is weak, the string on the bow is weak, how will it shoot an arrow? If the mind making the du'a is weak, what weakens the mind? Sins, weak iman, not turning to Allah during the du'a. So the mind is weak. How will it shoot a proper arrow? How about when the mind is weak and the arrow is weak? The mind is weak, the arrow itself, which is the du'a, is weak. The third thing Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned from the asbab wa takhallufi athar ad-du'a is husul al-mani' min al-ijaba. All of these that I am saying, they occur on page 9 of the copy that we read on the screen. From here, we are coming back to the major class from today. We need this revision to properly comprehend what we need to discuss today from this book, bi-idhnillah. So if Abu Abdurrahman wants to show us what we are talking about, they occur on page 9 of the copy that we show on the screen. The third thing that affects your dua and slows it down is husulul mani' min al-ijaba. There is a screen that deflects your arrow. Al-mani'u min al-ijaba. Take it that the bow is the loose bow is the mind we talked about. The arrow is the dua. There is a screen that deflects that arrow. Take it that the bow is even strong. The arrow is strong. Don't forget. Don't let there be something that will deflect that your arrow. When you shoot it, it will deflect it and not make it achieve its aim. Al-mani'u, something that will prevent your dua from being answered. Your mind is strong. The dua itself is effective that you made. But there is something that can put the dua away. It does not make it reach its destination. Ibn al-Qayyim referred to it as husulul mani'i min al-ijaba, that there is the presence of something that will prevent your dua from being answered. Like what? Aklul haram. When you eat haram, your dua will be slowed down from being answered. Wazulm. When you are an oppressor, you will be begging Allah and He will not answer you. Wazain wa rayinul dhunubi alal kulub. Rayinul dhunub. That evil, dark effect of sins, it covers up the mind. It prevents dua from being answered. وَاسْتِيلَاءُ الْغَفْلَةِ وَالسَّهْوِي وَاللَّهْوِي إِسْتِيلَاءُ الْغَفْلَةِ. The person is overrun by what? Al-ghafla, obliviousness, absent-mindedness. وَالسَّهْوِي. He is always in error, hardly ever doing things properly. وَاللَّهْوِي. Allah is too playful. The mind is a playful mind. وَغَلَبَتُهَا عَلَيْهَا. So all of these things, when they overwhelm the mind, they prevent your dua from being answered. One of these is getting busy with skit. When you get busy with skit, it comes under istila'u al-ghaflati was-sahwi wal-lahwi. When you become overrun with what? Al-ghafla, forgetfulness, obliviousness. Was-sahwi, you are always falling into errors. Avoidable errors. You are always having to say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. You'll be falling into avoidable errors. The way you consciously avoid mistakes will come down. Wallahu. When you become overrun with play, football, skate, things that make the people to laugh, comedy, they overrun you, these things will be pulling down your dua. So when you say, I have been making dua, you have not seen the response. That is number 4. Istijalul abd. You are hasty to see the results of your dua. These 4 things, when you are making the dua and you are not seeing the impact, go and look at any one of these 4 things. Number 1, that dua that you are making, is it a dua that is halal or it's a dua that is in itself a weak and rejected dua? Dua upon haram. The second thing you have to look at, you that you are making the dua, at the time you are making the dua, how was your attention? How sick or healthy is your mind? The third thing you have to look at is husulul mani'. Is there the presence of something that will prevent my dua from being answered? The fourth thing is that don't be hasty about, has the dua been answered or not. If you have not seen the impact of what you are asking for, continue. The day you say, oh, I have been begging Allah and I have not been seeing the result, it means your dua itself has issues. This is the fourth thing that can bring issues to your dua. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he referred to these four things as asbabu, what? Takhallufi athari dua, the means that bring back the effect, they draw the effect back. Don't be like somebody fetching water in the drum. When the drum leaks at the bottom, it has leakages, heavy leakages at the bottom. So you travel 50 meters to fetch a bucket of water. By the time you go to fetch one bucket and come back, the water has leaked more than half. You go back 50 meters again. You fetch another bucket, you pour it in the drum, it has leaked again. If you struggle very well, you may finally get the drum filled up, but with a lot of suffering. It will take a lot of time. Why? There is something that is bringing down your efforts. This is the way these four things bring down the efforts of an individual who is making a potent and sound dua. These four things will be bringing it down. The first one is for you to be asking for something that is not lawful. The second one is for you not to be attentive during dua. The mind that is asking itself is a weak mind. The third thing is that there is something you are doing. That thing will not allow your dua to be answered. Let me mention another one from those things, that when you do them, it will prevent your dua from being answered. Being disobedient to parents. Being unkind to parents when your parents are not happy with you over something that is lawful. You were truly rude, and then you go and sit down in your room, you are making dua. Your mother is angry with you, your father is angry with you. It will slow down your dua. It's like a mani'un. It's something that is a preventive. The way missiles are deflected, that is the way that anger of your mother or father over you will deflect your dua. The fourth thing is to be in a haste. These are the things that Ibn al-Qayyim put forward while explaining the science of dua to us. Rahimahullahu rahmatan wasi'ah. Then we came far forward in our studying of this book to when Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah referred us to eight expressions. The expressions are eight effective expressions for dua. The last of them was the dua of Al-Ala'u al-Ibn al-Hadrami. Al-Ala'u ibn al-Hadrami was reported to say each time he gets into trouble, Ya Azim, Ya Halim, Ya Alim, Ya Ali, Ya Azim, O you Allah that is absolutely mighty. Ya Halim, O you Allah, who is absolutely compassionate. Ya Alim, O you Allah, who is absolutely knowledgeable. Ya Ali, O you Allah, who is high above all things. This was usually referred to as Da'watul Ala, the dua of Al-Ala Al-Hadrami, rahimahullah. After all these expressions, teaching us how best to achieve a very potent dua, Ibn al-Qayyim came down to say something that's extremely important to all of us. That one occurs on page 25 of the copy that we show on the screen. And that will be the beginning of our study today. On page 25 of the copy we display on the screen. But for those of us who have the copy of Sheikh Nidal Ibn Abdul Karim that has the comments of Sheikh Abdul Razak Ibn Al-Badr, that one occurs on page 116. So let us come to either page 116 or page 25. Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim said, rahimahullah, وكثيرا ما تجد أدعية دعا بها قوم فاستجيب لهم ويكون قد اقترن بالدعاء ضرورة صاحبه. إسد رحمه الله. وكثيرا ما تجد أدعية دعا بها قوم. Many times we find some supplications. دعا بها قوم. That a group of people begged Allah with them. When they were begging Allah, they said, Rabbana atina, and their dua was answered. When they were begging Allah, they said, La ilaha illa ant, subhanaka, inni kuntu mina dhalimin. The dua was answered, fastujiba lahum. Wa yakunu qad iqtarana bid-du'ai daruratu sahibihi. But it is not just about that dua. It is not just about that expression, that formula. Not just about that. Qad iqtarana bid-du'a. Something came along with that dua. What was that? Daruratu sahibihi. The difficulty, the hardship, the serious necessity that that person who was making that dua was in. Look at Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. When he said, La ilaha illa ant, subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Was he in darura or not? He was in darura alayhi salatu wasalam. Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam was not just making that expression. It was in a serious state of darura. So many times we find tajidu ad'iyatan da'a biha qawmun. You find some expressions, some formulas of dua. Da'a biha qawmun. A group of people begged Allah using those formulas. Fastujiba lahum. And as a result, Allah would answer their dua. Wa yakunu qad iqtarana bid-du'a'i daruratu sahibihi. And it will be that while making that dua, that individual was in a serious hardship, or that wa iqbaluhu ala Allah, he was absolutely consciously directing all his attention to Allah while making that dua. Count it as sabab number two. The first one is that he was in darura. The second one was that lahu iqbalun ala Allah, yani iqbaluhu ala Allah. He was in pain. He was in serious discomfort. And the entirety of his attention was directed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أو حسنة تقدمت منه جعل الله سبحانه إجابة دعوة شكرا لحسنته. Or that individual, he has حسنة تقدمت منه. He has some good deeds. He had helped somebody who was in problem one day. He had supported somebody who was in trouble one day. He helped somebody achieve one thing one day. Somebody was sick one day. He helped the person gain sound health. Somebody was in a trouble one day. Say, I can help you. He helped the person. And all of these, taqaddamat minhu, they had gone, he had done them in the past. And then, Ja'alallahu subhanahu ijabata da'awatihi shukran lihasanatihi. Allah now made answering that his own dua, when he too came into problem, that answer for his own dua became ijabata da'awatihi shukran lihasanatihi. Allah made answering his own dua shukran lihasanatihi, a way of showing him gratitude over what? That his own goodness that he did one day. Ikhwa, this means that when you do any good at all, it does not go. Allah keeps it for you. You either get the result immediately, or Allah will be giving you that result one day when you need the result. Those who help people usually come like this. They usually find Allah's help when they need help. Those who support people, you always find Allah's support when they need support. Those who feed people, Allah always provide them help when they need support. If you give people support, you get support. Because one basic rule about this dunya and our deen is that al-jaza'u min jinsil amal. Al-jaza'u min jinsil amal. You get the kind of deeds that you do. If you help people, you get help. If you support people, you get support. The other way around, if you are used to disgracing the people, you get disgrace. It's a matter of time. If you are used to bringing the people backwards, you get it back. So that man, who, while he was in a condition of need, he said, La ilaha illa ant, subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. And what he wanted became, as he called Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not just about that call. Some things may be attached to it. The first one, daruratu sahibihi, the hardship that he is in. Wa ikbaluhu ala Allah, his attention that he directed towards Allah while making that dua. Aw hasanatun taqaddamat minhu, or one good deed that he had done before, and Allah made answering his own dua, shukran li hasanatihi, as a means of showing him gratitude over that good that he did. Aw sadafa waqt al-ijaba, or when he made that call, sadafa waqt ijabatin, it coincided with a particular period Allah decided to answer dua. He was calling and it just got in coincidence with a particular period that Allah is answering the dua. Wa nahu dhalik, and things like that. Fa ujibat da'awatuhu, and so the dua was answered. So two things we are talking about. He made the call, and those other things that are surrounding that call that made him got the answer as soon as he called it. Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, فَيَظُنُّ الظَّانُ أَنَّ السِّرَّ فِي لَفْظِ ذَلِكَ الدُّعَى. So this thing happened like that. As he made the dua, he got the result. فَيَظُنُّ الظَّانُ, so someone would now think that أَنَّ السِّرَّ فِي لَفْظِ الدُّعَى, that all that matters about what just happened now is fi lafzi dhalika dua. It's just about say la ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin. Just that, without attention, no previous good deeds, no goodness, nothing, no darura, no attention. He just la ilaha illa anta subhanaka, like somebody hallucinating. Yes, la ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin is effective, but how about the other things that surround a fast response from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? فَيَأَخُذُهُ مُجَرَّدًا أَنْ تِلْكَ الْأُمُورِ, فَيَأَخُذُهُ مُجَرَّدًا. So the individual takes that formula, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. That's just what he's saying. There is no iqbal, his attention is absent, no darura, it's not in any need, and no hasana, no good deeds, nothing. He's just talking. He's just like, just like that. Mujarradan and tilkal umur, all those other things that we mentioned were absent while he was making the call. Meanwhile, these were the same issues. Allati qaranathu min dhalika da'i. These were the issues that surrounded, that came together while the first person's dua was answered. While the second person heard the statement, he took the statement alone. He forgot all other things surrounding the potency and the effectiveness of calling on unto Allah. Ibn al-Qayyim went on to explain. He said, وَهَذَا كَمَا إِذَا اسْتَعْمَلَ رَجُلٌ دَوَاءً نَافِعًا. An illustration, a similitude of this is when إِذَا اسْتَعْمَلَ رَجُلٌ دَوَاءً نَافِعًا, a man takes a medicine that is beneficial. He has headache, so he took Panadol. Fil waqti alladhi yanbaghi, he took it at the right time that he was supposed to take it. If you go to the hospital, most times when they prescribe paracetamol, they will say take 2 tablets 3 times daily. So he took it alal fil waqti alladhi yanbaghi, at the time that it's necessary. عَلَى الْوَجْهِ الَّذِي يَنْبَغِي, in the manner that it is necessary to take it. فَانْتَفَعَ بِهِ, and so he made a lot of benefit. he took a lot of advantage from that medicine. فظن غيره أن استعمال هذا الدواء بمجرده كاف في حصول المطلوب. So some other person now thought that أن استعمال هذا الدواء, that the use of this medicine paracetamol بمجرده, just like that, is careless about the number of tablets is to take, is careless about the time that he should take it, how he should take it, when he should take it, the number of tablets that he should take. He doesn't care. All that matters to him is just take paracetamol. He thought that that is sufficient في حصول المطلوب, for him to achieve his own goal regarding the medicine. Ibn Qayyim said, rahimahullah, wa kana ghalita. This is a very, very big mistake. Many times people approach dua like this. They don't care the how of the dua, their circumstance. Are you on wudu? Are you facing the Qibla? Are you dressing properly? Is your attention directed towards Allah? Are you even thinking about the expressions you are making? Sometimes people just talk when they make dua. It does not even come from their mind. They don't even know what they are saying. They are just talking like that. And then they think that it will bring about the results that they want. Ibn al-Qayyim said, wa kana ghalita. He would be making a very big mistake if he thinks like that. He said, rahimahullah, wa hadha mawdi'un. This is a circumstance where yaghlatu fihi kathirun min an-nas. Many of the people make mistakes regarding this matter. Wa hadha mawdi'un yaghlatu fihi kathirun min an-nas. This is a circumstance where many people make mistakes. So they say, oh, ya hayyu ya qayyum is effective, just like that. Start saying ya hayyu ya qayyum, ya hayyu ya qayyum. They give him ya hayyu ya qayyum 1,000. So he holds a tasbih on his hand. Ya hayyu ya qayyum, 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 like that. Sometimes he doesn't even know what he's saying. So not to say whether it has come from his mind, not to say he has taken care of all other things surrounding an effective dua. All he's interested in is that expression. You find young people when they go to madrasa, they go to Ileke and all of this, they'll be looking for the afa. Afa, give me one strong thing. Once I say it, hey, it's not just about the expression. There are other things connected to our dua being answered. These are the lessons that we learn in these classes. Ibn al-Qayyim said, wa hadha mawdi'un yaghlatu fihi kathirun min an-nas. This is a circumstance, this is a situation where many people make a mistake. Why? They think that just go to the medicine store, buy paracetamol, take one tablet. Look at somebody who's about 65 kg, taking one single tablet of paracetamol. He took one in the afternoon yesterday, another one in the afternoon today, another one in the afternoon tomorrow, and is expecting to see that his headache will go. How will the headache go? The headache will not go. Why? Why has he not done that? The reason why the headache will not go is that he left that medicine away from the time and how, the quantity, the quality, how many times, how should he, all of this, he forgot about. In fact, this is what pharmacists and medical scientists refer to as drug abuse. He was just interested in the medicine. He's careless about the how to go about taking the medicine. Ibn al-Qayyim said, وَهَذَا كَمَا إِذَا اسْتَعْمَلَ رَجُلٌ دَوَاءً. What we have explained is like when a person takes a medicine, that medicine, nafi'an, it is very beneficial in itself. But he took it fil waqti alladhi yanbaghi ala alwajhi alladhi yanbaghi. He took it in the way that he was supposed to take it, ala alwajhi alladhi, in the time that he was supposed to take it, and in the way that he was supposed to take it, fantafa'a bihi, and then he made benefit with it. فظن غيره أن استعمال هذا الدواء بمجرده كاف في حصول المطلوب. Another person now thinks that is just taking the medicine like that, it is sufficient fi husul al-matlub to achieve the goals for which that medicine was taken. Wa kana ghalita. But that is a very big mistake. Please, that thing is distracting me. He said, rahimahullah, wa hadha mawdi'un yaghlatu fihi kathirun min an-nas. That is something about which many people make a lot of mistakes. Wa min hadha, Ibn al-Qayyim continued, he said, rahimahullah, wa min hadha annahu qad yattafiqu lil'abdi du'a'uhu bi'ttirarin inda qabrin fayujab. After knowing this basic rule, he wants to give us another example. He said, wa min hadha, something similar to what we were talking about is قَدْ يَتَّفِقُ لِلْعَبْدِ دُعَاؤُهُ بِالْطِرَارٍ عِنْدَ قَبْرٍ فَيُجَابُ. It can coincide for an individual that he is making a dua بِالْطِرَارِ and he is in a difficult situation and a difficult circumstance. He is in pain. He is in discomfort. He is in inconvenience. But what he thought was, let him stay near the graveside of his father or the graveside of his shehu for yujab. But because of his pain, because of his worry, because of his difficulty, yujab, Allah answered his dua. فَيَظُنُّ الْجَاهِلُ. Unfortunately, the person who is absolutely ignorant, he begins to think that أَنَّ السِّرَّ لِصَاحِبِ الْقَبْرِ, that the reason, the actual reason why that dua was answered was because that person inside the grave was a righteous man, or that the action itself was lawful. You can see the man was in trouble, he was in pain, he was in discomfort, he was in serious worry, but he was calling to Allah. Because if you were calling on the person in the grave, that's a shirk. That one takes a person out of Islam. If a person is beside the grave and he calls the grave person, or away from the grave, but calls the person in the grave, it is shirk. It is shirk. It takes a person out of Islam. But here, he's not calling the person. But he thinks, let me just stay near him to call Allah. He calls Allah near the graveside of his father or mother, or someone he considers righteous, one shehu somewhere. He begins to call Allah, but he's in pain, he's in difficulty. For yujab, because of his pain and difficulty, because pain and difficulty itself are one reason why Allah answers people's dua. But فَيَزُنُّ الْجَاهِلُ أَنَّ السِّرَّ لِصَاحِبِ الْقَبْرِ. The one who sees that the man's dua was answered, he begins to think that, oh, the reason why that dua was answered is that that man in the grave was a righteous man. وَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ أَنَّ السِّرَّ إِنَّمَا هُوَ لِلْتِرَارِ. He did not know that the actual reason why that dua was answered, إِنَّمَا هُوَ لِلْتِرَارِ, the only reason was the pain, the inconvenience, the worry, the grief that that person was consumed in. وَصِدْقِ اللَّجَئِ إِلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. And how sincere and truthful he was directing the entirety of his attention towards Allah. Yes, he was near the grief, but he was in pain. And he was directing all his attention and dua to Allah. فَإِذَا حَصَلَ ذَلِكَ فِي بَيْتٍ. But what we are saying now, if it happens, فِي بَيْتٍ مِنْ بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى كَانَ أَفْضَلَ وَأَحَبَّ إِلَى اللَّهِ. If what we are saying now, instead of going to sit down near the grave of one shehu or your father, if it happens in a masjid, فِي بَيْتٍ مِنْ بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ, in one of the houses of Allah, that is better. But what was he in? He was in pain. And he has what? Sidqul laja'i ila Allah. He was absolutely diverting and full of attention to Allah while making that dua. It means the actual ingredients of potency are what? That the person was in a pain, and that what? The person was full of attention with his dua. To who? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the jahil, the ignorant person, thinks that, oh, it was because he was near the grave of so and so person. The point here is that Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, كَثِيرًا مَا تَجِدُ أَدْعِيَةً دَعَى بِهَا قَوْمٌ فَاسْتُجِيبَ لَهُمْ وَيَكُونُ قَدْ اِقْتَرَنَ بِالدُّعَاءِ أَشْيَاءَ. Sometimes you see people use a formula to make a dua. You think it is just about that formula, but there are many other things connected to it. Just like the one who went to sit near a grave. The ignorant person thinks that, oh, it's because he was near a grave. But no, it was because of other things that surround that dua, like the pain the person was in, like the inconvenience the person was in, like the fact that the person directed all his attention to Allah alone, waiting for help from Allah alone, even though where he was unlawful. Because of these two things, Allah accepted his dua. So, but the ignorant person thinks that, oh, it was because he was near a grave. Just like the ignorant person thinks that because someone said, La ilaha illa ant, subhanaka, inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin, but he was oblivious, he was far away, he was not even directing his attention to Allah during the dua. The other person thinks that, oh, it is that statement, just about that formula. No. So we should have this understanding. Dua and the efficacy of dua, so many other things are always surrounding them. So many other things are always surrounding them. From that is dharuratu sahibihi, the circumstance of the person making dua, wa ikbaluhu ala Allah, is completely directing his attention to Allah. Aw hasanatun taqaddamat minhu, or that he himself was always helping and supporting people and being there for people in the times of need. Aw sadafa waqta ijabatin, or that dua coincides with a time when Allah chooses to answer the dua of his servants. I hope that this point is clear. Ibn al-Qayyim continued, rahimahullah, he said, wal ad'iyatu wat ta'awudhat bi manzilati silah. Al ad'iya, prayers, dua that we make, wat ta'awudhat, and those expressions we make asking for Allah's protection against evil, bi manzilati silah, they are like armaments, they are like the sword. Take it for a sword. Bimanzilati dua. Your dua, your adhkar, bimanzilati silah. They are like silah. They are like your armaments. They are like your missiles. Your dua and your ta'awudhat. Bimanzilati silah. They are like your weapons. Take the weapon of a sword, for example. Ibn al-Qayyim said, وَالصِّلَاحُ بِضَارِبِهِ لَا بِحَدِّهِ فَقَطْ. He said, وَالصِّلَاحُ, and a weapon, a sword, بِضَارِبِهِ. It also depends on the person using the sword. لَا بِحَدِّهِ فَقَطْ. It is not just about the sharpness. My sword is sharp. How about you who is handling that weapon? Oh, my missiles are fast. They carry 15 kg of bombs. Okay. How about you who is launching that missile? Do you have experience? Do you have expertise? Do you know how to use it? So the same way our dua, they are effective. They are effective. They do the job. But it depends on you handling it. He said, "Bimanzilati silah." They are like our swords. Wasilahu bidaribihi, and the swords or the armaments depend on the person employing it. La bihadihi fakat. It's not about whether it is just sharp. Famata kana silahu silahan taman la afata fihi. So whenever كان السلاح سلاحا تاما. The knife or the sword or the bomb or the gun is سلاحا تاما. A well organized perfect sword. The sword is nice. It's okay. لا آفت فيه. It does not have any defect. That's your weapon. Does not have any defect. وسعيد سعيد قوي. And your hand, the side, is from the wrist to the elbow. It's سعيد قوي. It's a hand that is strong. والمانع مفقود. And what will prevent your sword from cutting properly is مفقود. Is absent. والمحل قابل. And where you want to cut can actually be cut by the strength of the weapon that you are bringing. حصلت به النكاية في العدو. At that time, the effects of that your sword, the impact of that your sword will be felt by the enemy. Let us use modern day expressions. He said, Rahimahullah, متى كان السلاح سلاحا تاما لا آفة فيه. When your missiles, they are actual missiles, لا آفة فيه, they don't have a fault. Some missiles are bad. When you fire them from source, it itself weak. وَسَاعِدُ سَاعِدٌ قَوِي. And those that are operating the missiles, they have experience. They know how to get the missiles to target. وَالْمَانِعُ مَفْقُودٌ. And then there are no anti-missiles. If there are anti-missiles, such that the other party too is employing dua. You want something lawful. The other party too want it, and it is lawful. Both parties are begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that one thing. Be sure that your own dua is very strong and effective. وَالْمَحَلُّ قَابِلٌ. And what you want to use the missiles for, it is something that a missile can destroy. Sometimes people bring a weak missile for something. It is something that a knife can cut. Why do you bring a stick to beat something that it is only a knife that can cut it? Why do you bring a kitchen knife for something that it is only a sword that can cut it? Why do you bring a sword to try to cut an iron? No, you need something stronger than that. So that's how your dua too needs to be stronger. Your dua needs to be more effective. Your dua needs to be more potent. We have learnt about effective and potent dua. When all of these are present, حصلت به النكاية في العدو, then the impact of that armament, that weapon will be felt by the enemy. ومتى تخلف واحد من هذه الأمور. And when any one of these issues that we are talking about is absent, تخلف التأثير, then the effect too will be absent. If any one of these things is absent, whether there's a sword, but those operating it, the side is سَاعِدٌ غَيْرُ قَوِيٍ, or the weapon itself is faulty, or you are bringing the weapon to cut, you are bringing a knife to cut an iron, you are bringing the kitchen knife to cut a wood, how will it have an effect? If you want to cut a wood, you need a saw. If you want to cut an iron, you need the iron cutter. If you want to break something big, you need a gun. The same way, all of these things depend on the potency and the effectiveness of your dua, and there is no mania. Take for example, you want to actually employ a sword to cut something that a sword can actually cut, and then someone brings in front of you an iron or a wood, so your sword lands on the wood. It does not land on something that sword can cut. That thing remains like that, just like someone who shoots a missile and there's an anti-missile that will deflect the missile away. That is a mania. So when you are making the dua, look at all of these issues. Be sure that what is supposed to be there are there. calculate it. And that's why today, this class, when we started it, I said, this is the science of dua. You want to understand how to use dua, what to look at, what to do, what to study, what to avoid, what to bring in. You are understanding it, then your dua will be effective. You can fire the missile to get to where it should get to. You achieve your result. And it will be very strategic. You can send your B2 bombers. They will bomb where it is supposed to bomb. Or they will bring goodness to where it's supposed to bring. They will protect you by Allah's will. You want to avoid something. You want to achieve something. You know how to use the dua. You know how to employ the dua. You know what to avoid. You know what to bring in. You know when to sit down. You know when to ask. You know what to say. You know how to say it. You know when to say it. The periods you need to explore to get good results. These are the things we are talking about. Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim then said, Rahimahullah, فَإِذَا كَانَ الدُّعَاءُ فِي نَفْسِهِ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ. But when it now happens, despite all these things that we have talked about, إِذَا كَانَ الدُّعَاءُ فِي نَفْسِهِ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ, if the dua itself is an unrighteous dua, unrighteous dua, أو الداعي لم يجمع بين قلبه ولسانه في الدعاء, or the person who is making the dua himself, لم يجمع, he has not brought in the dua, بين قلبه ولسانه, both his mind and his tongue are not combined in the dua, أو كان ثم مانع من الإجابة, or there is something that, yes, your attention is on the dua, or that the dua itself is lawful, but there's a problem. What is that problem? مانع من الإجابة, كان له أو كان ثم مانع من الإجابة, there is a mani, something that prevents the dua from being answered. We have explained those things that prevents dua from being answered. Like what? Aklul haram. When a person becomes engrossed eating haram, it is from the mawani, from ijaba of dua. It prevents the dua from being answered. Another thing we mentioned from the things that prevents dua from being answered, apart from aklul haram, is adhulm. Another thing we mention is istila ul gafla. The person is always oblivious, nonchalant. Wasah, always falling into avoidable errors. Wallahu, is always laughing, full of laughter at all times, getting busy with comedy and comedians and things that lack benefits, like watching football and getting busy with all of these. His mind's calm down. Those are mawane. If all of this happened, lam yahsulil athar, the result of that dua, you will not achieve it. You will not achieve the effect of a potent dua. He said, إِذَا كَانَ الدُّعَاءُ فِي نَفْسِهِ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ, if it happens that the dua itself is not a righteous dua, أَوِ الدَّاعِي لَمْ يَجْمَعْ بَيْنَ قَلْبِهِ وَلِسَانِهِ فِي الدُّعَى, or the person making the dua, لَمْ يَجْمَعْ بَيْنَ قَلْبِهِ وَلِسَانِهِ, his tongue is saying something, ya latifu, ya latifu, ya latifu, ya latifu, but his mind is in the market. We saw this a lot when we were younger than this. Ya razaku, ya razaku. You'll be clapping. No. The two must be combined. The attention and the tongue. What you say, your mind must be on it. So when you say, la ilaha illa ant, your mind is on it. Subhanak, your mind is on it. Inni kuntu min al-dhalim, your mind is on it. This is al-jam'u bayna al-qalbi wal-lisani fi dua. Aw kana thamma mani'un. You must also ensure there is no mani' preventing your dua from being answered. Otherwise, lam yahsul al-atharu. Otherwise, the athar, the impact, the effect of that dua will not be felt at all. I hope that this is very important for us to understand about this. Now Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah raised another issue. He said, وَهَا هُنَا سُؤَالٌ مَشْهُورٌ. Now there's a question that is common, very popular. What is that question? وَهُوَ أَنَّ الْمَدْعُوَ بِهِ, إن كان قد قدر لم يكن بد من وقوعه. May Allah protect us. People ask a question. They say, أن المدعو به, that thing I'm looking for, that for which I'm making the dua and I'm asking Allah for. إن كان قد قدر, if it is something that Allah has preordained, لم يكن بد من وقوعه, there is no way to happen. There's no way out. It will certainly happen if Allah has preordained it. دعا به العبد أو لم يدعو به. Whether that servant دعا به العبد أو لم يدعو, whether that servant is asking Allah for that thing or he is not asking Allah for that thing. You're asking for something. If that thing has been preordained, people ask like this. Ibn al-Qayyim said, there is something people say. He wants to address that matter. And that thing people say is very common. If I'm asking for something, and that thing has been preordained for me, it will happen. دَعَ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ أَوْ لَمْ يَدْعُ بِهِ. Whether the servant begged Allah for it or he did not beg Allah, it will happen. وَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ قَدْ قُدِّرَ لَمْ يَقَ. And if it was not preordained, whether he's making dua or not, it will not happen. سَوَاءٌ سَأَلَهُ الْعَبْدُ أَوْ لَمْ يَسْأَلْهُ. Whether he asks for it or not. That is, people say that there are things I want. If I make dua or I don't make dua, it will happen. Likewise, if it has not been preordained, whether I make dua or I don't make dua, it will not happen. So Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, فَظَنَّتْ طَائِفَةٌ صِحَّةَ هَذَا السُّؤَالِ. Some people think that this kind of a question is a healthy question. What is the question? They are asking, Ya Sheikh, Ya Ustaz, I want so and so and so, and it is lawful, and I'm making dua for it. Is it not that whether I make dua or not, if it has been preordained that it should happen, it will happen, whether I make dua or not. If it has not been preordained to happen, it will not happen, whether I make dua or not. Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, ظَنَّتْ طَائِفَةٌ صِحَّةَ هَذَا السُّؤَالِ. Some people now think that this kind of a question is a valid question. Rahimahullah, he said, فَتَرَكَتِ dua. Because they think that question is valid like that, they abandon making dua. They think that, oh, if it has been preordained to happen, it will happen, whether I make dua or not. If it has not been preordained to happen, it will not happen, whether I make dua or not. So what is left? Why do I now make dua? Ibn al-Qayyim said, this thing makes some people to leave dua. They are not making dua. They say, la fa'idata fihi. Fatarakati dua wa qalat la fa'idata fihi. They say, they abandon dua. They say, why am I making dua? If it has been preordained to happen, it will happen, whether I make dua or not. If it has not been preordained to happen. It will not happen, whether I make dua or not. So it makes them leave dua. Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, wa ha'ula, these groups of people who abandon dua because of this false excuse, ma'afarati jahalihim, despite the fact that their ignorance is so deep, wa dhalalihim, and their misguidance is so clear, these people, mutanakidun, they are contradicting themselves. فَإِنَّ تَرْضَ مَذْهَبِهِمْ يُجِبُ تَعْطِيلَ جَمِيلَ الْأَسْبَابِ. Because if we take this, their basic rule, we are going to destroy every reason for following a means to achieve something. If you accept, whether I make dua or not, it will happen. Whether I don't make dua or not, it will not happen. So why am I making dua? If you follow, if we accept what they are saying and employ it to various things in life. For example, Ibn al-Qayyim will explain this, but I just want to answer this so that I satiate our curiosity before the next class. Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, these kinds of people are misled. Those who abandon dua because of a thinking like this. The question is wrong. Their thinking is wrong. Why?
It's like saying whether I read them for an exam or I don't read for an exam. If I'm destined to pass the exam, I will pass the exam. So I don't need to read. Is that reasonable? There's an exam in front. Whether I'm destined to pass or I'm destined to pass, my reading does not matter. Why? Whether I read or I don't read, if I'm destined to pass, I will pass. If I'm destined to fail, I will fail, whether I read or not. So I don't need to read. Is that reasonable? Okay. If I will have children, I will have children. So I don't need to marry a wife. If I'm destined to have children, I will have children. If I'm not destined to have children, I will not have children. So I don't need to marry a wife. Is that reasonable? I need to get to Lagos. Whether I get a car to go to Lagos or I don't get a car to go to Lagos. If it's destined that I'll be in Lagos, I'll be in Lagos. If it is not destined that I'll be in Lagos, I will not be in Lagos. So I don't need to get a car. I don't need to go out of my house to follow a means of getting to Lagos. Let me just stay inside my house. If it is destined, I'll get to Lagos. If it's not destined, I will not get to Lagos. Whether I follow the means or not, whether I get into a car or not. So let me just sleep inside my house. I can perform Hajj. Whether it is destined for me, I'll perform. If it's not destined, I will not perform. Whether I get a visa or not, whether I pay or not, whether I make preparations or not. So that thinking is a thinking that obliterates following a means to achieve a goal. Because dua is a means towards achieving goals. So if you say whether you make dua or not, if it is prestige, then it will happen. If it's not, you are now saying that. If you like, read before exams. If you like, don't read before exams. If you like, get into a vehicle to get to Lagos. If you like, don't get into a vehicle. I hope that these illustrations will satiate our test before we come further and fully, inshallah, into the responses by Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah to that puzzle. He threw that puzzle the way a teacher throws a puzzle in class for students to agitate their thoughts regarding the subject that he is teaching. The same way I chose to throw it. Bismillah, we come back in class to discuss this matter. A person thinks that, oh, whether he makes dua or not, if something is preordained for him to happen, it will happen. If something is not preordained to happen, it will not happen, whether he makes dua or not. So what is the essence of dua? Those kinds of person continue like that. Ibn al-Qayyim said, this is showing a lot of ignorance. Because that thinking will obliterate a person's following the means to achieve a goal. What he's saying is that goals will be achieved without following means. You can pass exam without studying. You can become a doctor without going to school. You can become a lawyer without studying law. Just upon a thinking that it is preordained or it is not preordained. People will not be following the means to achieving their goals. You can have children without looking for a wife. Is that necessary and reasonable? So the same way our goals must be obtained by seeking dua. I hope that it is clear. Bismillah, we come back to the classes. The classes will be technical because it's not just telling us make dua. He's saying, Ya Hayu, Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayu, Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayla. He wants to make us understand the science itself of the dua. And what are those things that will support the dua? What are those things that will draw back your requesting from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that whenever you are in a condition, you know what to do, you know how to do it, you know what to ask for, you know when to ask for it, you know how to go about it by yourself without being cheated or deceived by charlatans. May Allah protect us. Abu Abdurrahman. Amin wa iyakum, Abu Abdurrahman.
The question here is, a dual type of social media capable of being accepted? May Allah accept your efforts.
I mean, dual typed, maybe in a message to somebody. You are in a discussion with a person, and then you type the dua and say, I mean, it is in the ruling of writing a dua and sending it to him as a message. somebody is in the hospital. You are not able to go and visit him and pray for him, but he can read your message. So you type the dua and send it. It's like sending a message, a risala, a written message to that person. When he reads it, he says Amin too. Like you writing it, you say Amin, he says Amin. So it is lawful bi'idhnillah to write a message of dua to people. This is common amongst the early Muslims. Bi'idhnillah, we come to something like this in Al-Adabul Mufrad. The early Muslims used to write dua, they send dua in writing to their brother. So I think what we have today, that when someone sees someone in problem, he sends a message of dua to him on the same platform where he read about it. That would be lawful. Sometimes it will even be upon behind your brother. Like we are all praying for our brother who passed away, Abu Sufyan Al-Alma'i. May Allah still forgive this brother. I was still talking about him with some of the brothers yesterday, and it's a thing of pain up till now. May Allah forgive him and pacify us and bring up many brothers to become like him and better than him. Ya dhal jalali wal ikram. So this kind of a situation, we read about it, we hear about it, we make dua for him with our mouths behind him. He has died. All that, we are making dua for him behind him. That is from the meaning of that verse in Suratul Hashr, where Allah spoke about the people of Iman. وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. If you look at this verse, they are not praying directly to those persons. Those persons they are making the dua for were absent. They are already dead. Why? سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. They had died with Iman. We are still alive. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلَّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. This is general for both people who are alive and those who are dead. Allah, don't put in our minds hatred against the people of Iman. So this dua is behind them. We are making dua for persons in front and persons who have gone behind. Allahu alam, this is the status of the dua we send across on social media, whether verbally or written. Allahu alam. I mean, let's take this for the last question because the time is already spent.
Is it a bad idea when one is anxious to see response to one's dua?
Is it what?
Is it a bad idea when one is anxious to see response to one's dua?
What does anxious to see the response to your dua, what does that mean? Does it mean that you are seriously connecting your mind to Allah and hoping for the response from Allah? Allah, grant me this dua. Allah, grant me this dua. It can come from the aspects of al-ilhah, asking persistently and continuously and being hopeful of response. If this is what you mean, you are asking painstakingly and you are hoping, waiting for response from Allah. This is lawful. Maybe the anxious about answering your dua is about saying that you are painstakingly anticipating reply from Allah. So you are now taking the pains and the time to ask. You are asking, waiting. Allah answers. He will answer. Yes, this is lawful. But if that anxiety means that, oh, I've been asking, yet has not been answered, then that's unlawful. That's being hasty. It is very common. People say, we have made dua. You have not made dua. If you say, oh, we have made dua, you need something else after dua. You have anyone else who can give responses to your needs apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Was it a trial and error you were making your dua with? So, but if the anxiety is about anticipation, if what you are calling anxiety is that you are anticipating that the dua will be answered, then that is lawful. I hope that that is clear about that.
I mean,
Yaku. Please let me quickly answer this question, if you allow me. Someone commits a sin as grievous as taking the soul of somebody else or committing zina, but no one knows. Then the person feels regret and begins to seek tawbah. Should the person still confess his sin to the people? There is no confessing the sin to anybody. There is no, especially things like this. Unless it has to do with issues of murder, you took the life of somebody. You have to go back to the family of the people to rectify it. You pay the diya and other things. Or you do the fasting. We'd explain these in details when we are discussing Al-Kaba'ir under Qatlun Nafs. So otherwise, if someone commits a sin behind, no one sees him, don't come in the public to declare yourself. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Al-Mujahirun will not be forgiven. Kullu ummati mu'afa. The entirety of my ummah, when they commit sins, they will get afia, they will get forgiveness for the sins. Except those who, when they commit a sin, they come back in the public to announce themselves. Allah had covered them, but they come to announce their sins. Don't do this, ikhwa. Women, don't do it. Men, don't do it. Protect yourself. Allah has protected you. Don't come in the public to start announcing. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, a man who committed zina, came to him. Said, I come here, he did like this. Abu Bakr said, protect yourself now. Hide yourself. Allah has hidden you. Hide yourself. He went to Umar, he said the same thing to him. When he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because now that is constituted authority, he said the legal punishment must take place. The legal punishment took place. So if Allah had covered you when you committed a sin, then cover yourself. Don't come in the public to disgrace yourself after Allah has covered you. Except in particular sins like usurping the rights of people. You stole somebody's money, go and give him back his money. You cheated, you took somebody's money unlawful, give him his money. You took the life of somebody, do the needful. But other sins that are sins of hidden like this and that are not connected to clear-cut rights of other people that you need to give back, if Allah has covered you, then cover yourself. I hope that it is clear, inshallah. It's a quality day today. Bi'idhnillah, will come back to class next week to continue about that puzzle. People who think, oh, they don't need to make dua. They are like people who think, oh, they don't need to marry wives, but they need children. They don't need to read, but they want to pass exams. May Allah protect us. Ibn al-Qayyim called it jahal and balal. He called it ignorance and misguidance.
Nice.
May Allah protect each and every one of us. Abad Rahman. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.